pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lawson.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Mario Williams hands him around the waist and he drops him. Super Mario gets in on the sack party.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. The draft is over. We'll talk about it tonight. We'll hear from you, your comments, your grades on the Buffalo Bills draft. The team's director of college scouting, Kelvin Fisher, joins us in studio at 7:30. We'll hear what Mel Kiper and Todd McShay say about the Bills and the NFL draft. And we'll talk to the color man on the Clemson radio broadcast about Sammy Watkins and his college career.
This place is pandemonium.
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown! Fred Jackson!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Yeah, the draft is behind us, but we're going to talk about the draft because there is a lot that went on. Good evening, welcome to another week, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Spent a lot of time over the last 3 months or so talking about the draft, and now we'll spend sometime this week talking about the draft because it is over. The Bills with 7 picks and the big move in the first round, giving up next year's first rounder to move up 5 spots to get Sammy Watkins. Some regard him as not just the best offensive player, but the best player in this draft. We want to hear from you. The phone lines are open for the next couple of hours. We're on the air until 9. Your grade on the Buffalo Bills draft. What did you like? What did you think? How do you think the Bills fared in the draft this year? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free from outside Buffalo, the toll free number 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show as well. Your grade for the Buffalo Bills draft this year, what would you give them? How do you think the Bills did, and what's missing from this draft class? No tight end in this draft class. Talked about tight ends a lot going into the draft, and board didn't fall that way for the Buffalo Bills. They did not get a running back in the draft, per se, but they made a draft day deal on Saturday to pick up a running back. They got the wide receiver, and they got the best wide receiver available. They got a couple of linebackers, and they got 3 massive offensive linemen, definitely hitting one of their needs, one linebacker. But give us your thoughts. How do you think the draft went? How do you think the Bills played the draft board? And I have this for you, too. If you want to see some real-life drama of how that draft played out, you should go to BuffaloBills.com. You can do it after our show, or if you can multitask, you can do it before as well. But check it out. There's a video piece, Bills Focus, inside Buffalo's draft room. It's up on our website, BuffaloBills.com. Chris Brown has written a companion piece, On the Clock, Whaley's Decisive Deal-Making, outlining what you see on video. We take you inside the Bills draft room for the dramatic footage of how the deal to move up to get Sammy Watkins went down on Thursday night. The only place to see it, the video from inside the draft room at BuffaloBills.com. Forget about Kevin Costner in Draft Day the movie. I mean, this is real-life stuff, and it's on our website. Exclusive access to the Bills draft room, and the video is right there. It's compelling. If you're a Bills fan, you want to watch it. Go to BuffaloBills.com, Bills Focus, inside Buffalo's draft room, and then Chris Brown's companion piece, On the Clock, Whaley's Decisive Deal-Making, sort of outlines how it all went down, how it all really fell together for the Buffalo Bills in the draft on Thursday night, and then takes you into day 2 as well. All of that up at BuffaloBills.com. In the meantime, we'll take your comments and questions on the air tonight about the Buffalo Bills draft, about the moves that were made, maybe about the moves that you think should have been made. No quarterbacks added this year. I know some people thought that might have been something the Bills would address. They are all in with E.J. Manuel. They've made that clear for a long time and reiterated that over the weekend, and especially by not choosing to select any quarterbacks in the draft. Give us a call, 803-0550, the number. We're toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter, too, at John Murphy Show. Your take on the Buffalo Bills draft, how do you think it went? What's missing? What should they have done? Did they give up too much to move up those 5 spots to get Sammy Watkins? Some people think they did. Some people think that was too steep a price to pay to give up next year's first-round draft choice. It's all on the table, and you can ring us up. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 in Buffalo or outside Buffalo. The toll-free line, 1-888-550-2550. A bit of a check of the news of the day includes a roster move for the Bills today. They have released running back Anthony Allen, a former seventh-round pick of the Baltimore Ravens. 2 years in the league, he played in 21 games, mostly as a special teamer. 19 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown in 2011 and 2012. The Bills signed Anthony Allen as a future free agent on January 14th. They released him today. The reason? They've got some players to add, some undrafted free agents, rookies, and they haven't announced those yet, mostly because they've agreed to terms, but they have not signed their contract. They have not passed their physical. That's expected to come out tomorrow. You've probably seen some of the names have been reported. Sometimes these players report themselves as signing with the Bills, and that's fine. But there are about 10 players that the Bills expect to announce tomorrow that have signed a contract, but that announcement has not come yet. Doug Whaley, the Bills' general manager, appeared on WGR Radio with Howard Simon and Jeremy White this morning. Doug Whaley, the Bills' GM, was asked about his first draft and the big picture looking back at his first draft as the Bills GM.
It was exciting. It was something that I've worked for all my life, and to finally get that chance, it was something that I will always remember, and it's a feeling that just makes you really believe in that that saying that hard work pays off.
One of the big moves the Bills made was the trade on Friday when they traded away Stevie Johnson to the San Francisco 49ers for an undisclosed draft choice in 2015, a conditional fourth-round draft choice later reported. Doug Whaley talked with Howard Simon and Jeremy White about the trade that included Stevie Johnson, the longtime Bills receiver, 6 years with the Buffalo Bills, and how that trade all went down.
Our philosophy is we have a value on every player, and I even say Russ probably has a value on me, and if someone comes and asks us to make a deal and the value is good for us and it's good for them, then it's gonna go down. And I want to thank Stevie for all he's done for our organization on and in the community off the field, and it was one of those things. San Francisco contacted us, and it was a deal, I think, that worked out best for every party involved.
So you were not looking to move him? You weren't making calls? They called you, and that's where it went?
Yes.
Was it a cold call, just out of the blue? Or, I mean, had you had conversations about their needs, your needs, or anything like that?
Pre-draft, we contacted every team, and our pro personnel department discussed needs, where they're heavy, where they're light, where they may be looking to add. So we had some preliminary conversations, but not specifically about Stevie.
So teams would have had reason to believe you were looking to change things over at wide receiver that might have been loosely termed like that?
I think once we drafted Sammy, some teams started calling because they saw that we were heavy at that position. And then from there, the talks intensified. And again, we decided that the value that we could get from Stevie was in realm of what we thought we had on him, and again, it was mutually beneficial for all parties involved, because you look, Stevie's a good receiver. He'll be able to go home and play in front of his, I mean, everybody wants to play in front of their hometown crowd, so I think he's excited. The San Francisco 49ers are excited, and we're excited about what we have, not only in the draft, but going forward.
Doug Whaley, Bills general manager, appearing on WGR Radio this morning with Howard Simon and Jeremy White. One thing that became clear when you look at the drafting of Sammy Watkins, the Bills and those three offensive linemen, those three massive offensive linemen, this draft, what the Bills designed in to continue their offseason trend of building around E.J. Manuel. They are all in for E.J. Manuel. The question came up, though, from Howard Simon and Jeremy White. How long are they in for E.J. Manuel? Is it a one-year commitment, or does it go longer than that? Here's what Doug Whaley had to say.
We look at it as we're concentrating on this year coming up. After that, then there's a saying in this business, don't give me problems I don't have. All we're worried about right now is 2014, and then we'll assess everything after that.
What do you think would be a good year for E.J.? What would you like to? What would constitute progress in your mind for the quarterback in year two?
Just look at his overall game and his overall maturation from last year to this year, and just getting better and getting us W's. I mean, it's a results-based business, and we're recognizing the fact that we haven't made the playoffs in 14 years, so our goal is to make the playoffs, so that's a successful season. Now you can break it down and look at other aspects of a person's game to see if he is getting better. And I think it's going to be obvious to everybody involved if he took a step forward.
And you expect that to happen? He will take a step forward this year?
That's our plan. That's why we're surrounding him with the weapons we're surrounding him with. And again, there's always that step between the first year and the second year, because think of the mental anxiety and stress of someone coming out of college, not knowing where their career is going to go, where their life's going to be, and what's expected of them at their new job. So this year, he's had a chance to decompress, soak it all in, relax, and then come back with the idea of knowing, hey, this is what is expected of me. This is what I'm walking into. Another year of being comfortable with the offensive coordinator, the playbook, his teammates. So the comfortability factor helps somebody, especially in the quarterback position, excel.
Doug Whaley, Bills general manager, talking this morning on the WGR Morning Show with Howard Simon and Jeremy White. Yep, they are all in, he continues to say, with E.J. Manuel. All right, let's take your phone calls. The lines are open. 803-0550 is the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. Important to note that we have to give away one, just one, New Era Buffalo Bills draft cap, signed, autographed by Sammy Watkins. Just one. Every caller tonight will be entered to win. You'll be notified by our show tomorrow as to whether you've won. We only have one to give away, but if you need extra incentive to call in and talk about the draft, now's the time to do it. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. One lucky caller is going to win the Sammy Watkins autographed New Era Buffalo Bills draft day cap. So give us a call. Let's start with Bill in Kenmore. Hi, Bill. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. I just want to say, as a season ticket holder and a long-time, lifelong Buffalo Bills fan, I am absolutely thrilled with what they did. And I think this Doug Whaley, he really is a class act. He's impressing me with his leadership and his willingness to go out there and do what he has to do to get the team that he wants. And another thing, I have to say this offensive line, I mean, it reminds me of the big, monstrous line Dallas had when they crushed us in the Super Bowl twice.
Because of the size?
What do you think?
Because of their size?
Yes, the size. They're huge. We haven't had an offensive line like this in forever.
Yeah, I mean, these guys that they drafted, these three haven't played yet, and hopefully they can play. I would think at least Cyrus Kwanjo has a good chance of playing and probably starting this year. The others, a little bit down the line a little bit, Richardson and Henderson, we'll see. A little bit early, rather, to say that they're going to be, you know, equal to what the Cowboys had in their glory years, their Super Bowl years, but certainly the size is very impressive. Let's go to Lorden in Woodbridge. Hello, Lorden, you're on the air. He's gone. How about Craig and Clarence? Craig, are you there?
Hey, how's it going today?
Okay.
Hey, I guess I got a question for you more to find out what you think. You know, with what we gave up for him, which obviously was a lot, do you think that it was worth it to, you know, see what Sammy Watkins is going to do to see if he's going to change our offense completely around? Or do you think that maybe, like, Khalil Mack would have made a bigger impact this season? I know Doug Whaley said that he wants to get to the playoffs this year. Do you think that, you know, by getting rid of Stevie and picking up Sammy Watkins, that we're going to actually become better, especially for what we gave up?
Well, you got a lot of different questions going on there. Do I think Sammy Watkins would have a bigger impact on the Bills than Khalil Mack? Yes, I do. Khalil Mack, if the Bills would have chosen him, would have been an addition to an already very, you know, effective Buffalo defense when it comes to pass defense. They were one of the best in the league in pass defense last year. That's Khalil Mack's strength. So he would have added to what is an already very strong thing that they do. Sammy Watkins adds a great deal to maybe what was the weakest link of the whole Bills attack last year, passing offense. Many people believe Sammy Watkins was the best player in this draft. And not just on offense, but the best player in this draft. But he adds to what was a Bills weakness last year, pass offense. So in that sense, yeah. Now, the third question, I think, is in your question, is was it worth it? who can tell? I mean, who will be able to tell? And when will we know? Will we know at the end of next year? Will we know 3 years out? It's an awful lot to give up a first-round pick. It's an awful lot to give up next year's first-rounder. I know. It's an awful lot invested in the people who are already here, most particularly E.J. Manuel. But they have such a strong conviction that Watkins is a difference maker that they were willing to do it, take themselves out of next year's first round. I also think they feel so strongly that the time to win is now, that these Bills fans have waited so long to win, to be in the playoffs, that, you know, sitting back, playing slightly more conservatively, waiting until next year's draft to add another piece, I think they just want to win, and they want to win now. They wanted to win several years ago. This group has been here now. You know, Doug Whaley's been here a few years. This was his first draft. They want to win now, and that's why they took the bold step, the expensive step, of moving up in the draft, giving up next year's first rounder to move up five spots. We are recapping the draft. We're going to hear from the Bills Director of College Scouting, Kelvin Fisher, at the bottom of the hour, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear your grade on the Buffalo Bills draft, your thoughts on the draft. Phone lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Mark in Alden. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to find out, I've got a couple questions. Your thoughts on supplemental draft next year with the free agents we've obviously lost is the first question. And then the second question, I wanted to find out if you knew who Brandon Oliver from the UB Bulls signed with.
Yeah, Brandon Oliver signed with the Colts. That came out, I think, Saturday night, Sunday. Brandon Oliver is with the Colts. You know, the supplemental draft, I don't know. The Bills lost Jairus Byrd. They signed Brandon Spikes. You know, and there's a complicated formula that I don't really have access to that determines how many supplemental draft picks you get. They signed Chris Williams, too. But I would think I don't think it's going to be huge, you know, to lose Byrd and then to pick up Brandon Spikes. It seems to me that almost might be a wash when it comes to how many supplemental picks they get and what rounds they would be in. Alan in Lancaster. Welcome, Alan. You're on the show.
Oh, yeah. Hi. In my opinion, I think Sammy Watkins is out of sight as a player, as a human being, but I think that this was not a good trade. I think they gave up too much because they would have gotten a terrific player. They would have gotten Ebron, who you were just pointing out that the Buffalo Bills need pass offense. They would have gotten terrific pass offense. So, I mean, from my point of view, I don't think it was. I think they gave away too much. But I wanted to ask a question about one of the other players they got, and that was before they had gotten Keith Rivers. And I wanted to know how they plan to use Keith Rivers. I mean, this was a guy. He was the first linebacker taken in the 2008 draft, and he had a 4.5 40, a 42-inch vertical. I mean, is this a three-down linebacker for them where they're going to where you can cover tight ends? I mean, how are they going to use him?
Well, I think, yeah, we don't know for sure, but I think you're on the right track there. You know, they're transferring into a 4-3 style of defense, so that's significant. They have Kiko moving outside. They have Brandon Spikes on the inside. They have some guys coming back, some incumbents, who you wonder how they would fit in what they're going to do defensively. But I think you're on the right track is that Rivers would be like a strong side linebacker. Is he a three-down linebacker? I don't know. I think they have some depth there, including the guys coming back from next year, and it remains to be seen. We haven't seen this team line up on the field in any sort of football formation at all yet, obviously, because they haven't had those kind of practices yet. But I think you're on the right track with how you envision Keith Rivers and his fit in this Buffalo defense. Mike in Amherst. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Murph, how are you?
Okay.
I guess, you know, I'm hoping for the best, but I guess what bothers me is that it seems like we think we're smarter than everybody else. I mean, very few people, scouts, had Manuel rated as the first-round pick last year. We grab him. We take Spikes from New England, who's had some difficulties. We take Mike Williams, who's had some difficulties. We have some draft picks that have had some difficulties. Yet we end up getting rid of known quantities that are great ball players or very good ball players. Jairus Byrd. Lavitre. I mean, Lavitre was as good a guard as there is. And, you know, it's like we're reaching, trying to show how smart we are instead of just sticking with some really good ball players. and that's my concern. I just, you know, I know they're all in with EJ, and, you know, you just said how, the, you know, the offense was lacking in passing last year. I think the reason that the offense was lacking in passing last year is Manuel couldn't get the ball more than 10 yards down the field to an open receiver.
Exaggerating.
Yeah, they were wide open.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me backtrack a little bit. Lavitre's a pretty good guard, never been to a Pro Bowl, never had a whiff of a Pro Bowl. I don't know if he's as good as it gets. They had a value on safeties. Doug Whaley talked about it today, and they thought the price tag for Jarris Bird exceeded that. A very good player, one of the best safeties in the game, but he is only a safety. But to your general question, your overall question, do they think they're smarter than everybody? I don't get that. I do think they're more desperate than most teams to improve. They want to get better now. That's the message I get from the trade up to get Sammy Watkins, from you know, investing what they've done in free agency and making you know, risky picks when it comes to guys who've had run-ins, off-the-field run-ins. They want to get better now. They're probably more desperate than many teams. And why wouldn't they be after 14 years without the playoffs? I think most fans would welcome that sense of desperation, like, enough, let's win now. So rather than thinking that they are smarter than most teams, I think that they're more desperate than most teams, and I don't have a big problem with that. Greg in Florida. Hello, Greg. You're on the air.
John, good evening. How are you?
Okay.
Hey, just a couple observations and a question. First, I think that the Bills have done some great things, you know, things that people are overlooking. Number one, special teams. Getting Anthony Dixon and Corey, the player from Baltimore, the special teams aces. We had problems on our special teams last year. I mean, very, very astute move there. I think a guy like Moiaki, I keep all my, like, Street and Smith draft prospectus, and he was number two rated tight end, I guess, next to, I think, I don't know if it was Gronkowski was number one. So if this guy's healthy, he'll pay big dividends. And my whole point is, John, 3,000 years ago, man, the poet Terence, he said, fortune favors the bold. You've got to be bold. Look at, you know, we made these moves for Cornelius Bennett. No one was going to take Thurman Thomas because of his knees, and look what happened. So I think that you've got to go for it sometimes, damn the torpedoes, and I think they're very intelligent. And one question I want to ask you, my friend, was if you look at position by position now, would there be a position where you think we might be able to stabilize even a little more with an available NFL free agent?
Well, there are not a whole lot of you know, guys on the street anymore who are going to be very valuable, I wouldn't think. I mean, none come to mind, actually, but stabilizing any position groups. I'm looking at the depth chart as we speak. You know, it's not a perfect roster. Obviously, they're very young at wide receiver. We know that, especially now with Stevie gone. Moiaki, you mentioned, I think they're counting on, hoping that he is healthy and counting on him to be a contributor this year. They have the young offensive lineman, and they're going to need to plug him in, at least Kwanjo, I would think, plug him in and play. But if that's not working, then I think they have some issues on the offensive line. Defensively, the switch to the 4-3, I think, you know, I think that
D-tackle?
Not necessarily. Maybe linebacker. They drafted a couple. Again, down the draft a little bit, third rounder and deeper in the draft. But I guess my major concern would be the inexperience at wide receiver, and maybe, you know, you're really hoping that the offensive lineman come through, the young offensive lineman. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to hear from a guy who was in that draft room all weekend long. We've got time for more phone calls. And again, when you phone in tonight, you will be automatically entered to win the drawing that we will conduct here, and you'll get the call tomorrow. One, Sammy Watkins signed, Buffalo Bills new era draft cap. We've got one to give away tonight to one of our callers. We'll let you know tomorrow if you win. So we will have more time for phone calls, but we'll take a break here and then come back and talk to the Buffalo Bills Director of College Scouting, Kelvin Fisher. He'll be in studio with us when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Seven new draft picks for the Buffalo Bills, the NFL draft over the weekend. And joining us in studio now, the Bills Director of College Scouting, Kelvin Fisher. Kelvin, thank you very much for coming by. I can't believe you're still alert and awake after a long, long weekend of pulling names off the board.
Yes, it was a long weekend. Well worth it, though.
How did it feel, your first draft as the college scouting guy?
Oh, man, it was a great feeling. You know, just happy with all the picks, and you know, just that first guy getting Sammy Watkins just set the whole weekend off. You know, you just knew it was going to be a great draft.
Can you take us inside the draft room for a second, Calvin, and just let the process, how it would work? I know Doug Whaley was there, you know, at the center of the thing. Doug Marone is there, obviously some others. But what was your role in the draft room? What did you have to do?
I mean, we came together to talk about the picks, who we wanted. You know, and you try to you stack your board, and you look at the board, and you look at the players who you're interested in. So we're all together in the draft room, and we're sitting together at the table, and we're discussing like our next pick.
Was most of your work done prior to Thursday night when the draft started, as far as stacking that board?
Everything was done. The board was ready. We went in. We had our top guys that we would want to take in the first round. Our top guys we want to take in the second round, the third round. And at that point, now you just have to wait and see who gets drafted. And you look at your board and you look at how you have them stacked and you take the best player.
And you don't have to tell us which picks, but as teams made picks, were there any eye openers for you or the Buffalo Bills? You're like, whoa, we didn't have a grade like that on that.
No, I mean, because you grade the players for your team, not the other 31 teams. So like if a team, you know, Houston takes Clowney, hey, that's their pick, you know. Yeah. So you're ready for the next one. You're ready for your pick, and you don't worry about the other teams, like how their boards are stacked.
And one more question about the process. What goes on, say, Friday or Thursday night, Friday morning before rounds two or three, or Friday night, Saturday morning? Do you reset your board at that time?
You go in and you look at what's left, and then you stack the board again as far as your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, you know, sixth, seventh, whatever, guys. And that's stacked for the second and third round. And then when the third round is getting ready to happen, whatever's left from the stacking, you basically, you know, hey, let's count them up again, who first, second, third, fourth, or whatever. And that's the approach that you have.
We're in studio with Calvin Fisher, the Bills Director of College Scouting. Calvin, maybe the biggest splash of the draft, certainly the biggest move by the Bills, was the move up to number four overall on Thursday night, first round. Tell me about that move, and did you have, I mean, that's obviously Doug Whaley's move, but how much input did you have on that? What kind of discussion was going on in there?
I mean, to be honest with you, it's probably not much discussion for Sammy Watkins. I mean, everyone knew he was, you know, if not the best player in the draft, you know, the second best player in the draft. So it's one of the moves that, to be honest with you, you're like, wow, we got a chance. And and that's what made it so exciting, because you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, we would love to have him, but, you know, is it a chance for us to get him? And when we got him, it was, you know, it was just electrifying to know that we got the best player in the draft.
When did you think you had a chance? When Jacksonville chose Bortles at number three? Is that when you thought, okay, we can move now?
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously the trade was made. But at that point, you felt good because, you know, everyone thought that he was going to go to Jacksonville.
You echoed a minute ago exactly what Nathaniel Hackett said to me in here on Friday or Saturday. I can't remember. He said, we didn't just get the best receiver. We got the best player in the draft. Yeah. You had him number one on your board.
And it's funny. Sometimes when you do the board, you know, you see that guy and you're saying, man, this is the best player in this whole draft. And for us to get him, I mean, that's exciting. You know, it's exciting.
Sammy Watkins is 20 years old. Tell me how that measures into your evaluation of him, both his upside and maybe what growth there is still to come for him.
I mean, the measurement is his play. But, you know, then when you say 20, you know, he's young. You still got some years in him. You know, it's not much wear and tear.
Right.
And then he's a very mature 20-year-old.
Yep.
You know, so you know he's going to pick things up. He knows how to handle his business.
As far as his game, what do you think will get better as he matures? I mean, he's not even 21 years old yet.
I mean, he'll probably get stronger, obviously, because he's going to get older. He's going to do some – I'm sure he'll do some different types of training now that he's in the NFL than he did in college. So that's going to help. He's a powerful guy already, so he's going to be that much more powerful and explosive. But, you know, he'll polish up his route running, you know. His game, he'll understand the game a lot better as he gets older as well.
You know, there was a lot of talk about how the Bills might have been interested in a tall wide receiver. Sammy Watkins is 6'1", but when I watch him on tape, he plays like a tall receiver. He just goes up and gets it, right?
He gets the contested balls, and sometimes, you know, you can be 6'5" and not get the contested balls. This guy's 6'1", and 6'1" or whatever, but he definitely plays bigger than his size, and that's one thing you love about him. When he, even when he runs the ball almost like a running back sometimes. Yeah. You know,
when I watched him on tape, the thought that occurred to me, I watched him a little bit before the draft and a lot on Thursday night. He's sturdy. He's hard to bring down. Yeah. Kinda, you know.
Yeah, because he's a strong runner, but he's a smooth route runner. You know, and a strong runner after the catch.
Yeah.
You know, and strong hands and very competitive.
We're in studio with Calvin Fisher, the Bills director of college scouting, going through the drafts. Let's talk about Friday. Cyrus Quanjo, you and your team believes that's a first-round talent that you got there in the second round.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, big, strong, athletic tackle. And then listen to his interview after the draft. He's ready to go, and he wants to prove to everyone. So that's a point that, you know, you look at and you say, man, this guy's going to bring something to the table that you didn't think he had, or you know what I'm saying? Because he's fired up now.
Yeah. Seems like he's fired up about the medical issue that came up really at the combine. And I was thinking that's a function of all that media at the combine needing something to talk about. Quanjo has, I guess, red flagged by some teams for his knees. But as Doug Whaley pointed out, he hasn't missed a game, hasn't missed a practice.
And that's what's amazing about it, is that he hasn't missed a game, he hasn't missed practice. And you know, at the combine, he didn't work out well. But his pro days, he got better. He had two pro days, and every pro day he got better, you know. And that tells you something about the kid. You know, he went to the combine, didn't work out well, so he went and worked on everything he had to do to get better. Goes to his pro day, have a good pro day, goes back, work out, get everything better for the second pro day, and have another pro day that he's better at. So,
were you at those pro days?
No, I wasn't at the second pro day, but the guy is a worker, and you know he's a professional, and that's what I think is going to help transfer into this league.
You think he was upset that he didn't get drafted until the second round?
Oh, he was. I think he was fired up.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to try to prove it to everyone every Sunday.
Yeah, Calvin, we didn't know much about Preston Brown, the linebacker from Louisville, who came in the third round. What can you tell us about him, and what do you like about him?
I mean, big guy, you know, athletic. He can run. Thick guy, he can play, you know, the multiple positions for you, playing on special teams. He brings a lot to the table as well. Smart player, you know, has some toughness. So, I mean, he's going to bring a lot to the table for us as well.
Does he look like an inside Mike-type
linebacker?
I mean,
when you see his size and you see him, you know, he looks like an inside, but when you watch him play, you know, his athleticism and speed, he can also probably play outside as well.
And then we get to Saturday. In the fourth round, you got the cornerback from Duke, Ross Cockrell, who just from listening to him on the phone on Saturday, you can tell this guy's got a great head on his shoulder.
Oh, yes. Very smart player. Good corner that probably can play, because he's so smart, can probably play safety, so he can possibly be a dual position guy like Preston Brown. And then, you know, he'll be able to play teams for you again. What I liked about him, I watched the A&M game, and he did a great job against Mike Evans, so you know you were excited about that.
He's described as long. You said how you would.
Yeah,
he
has good length, you know, for a corner, and he can run, and you know, obviously he's smart.
Let's get to the next pick, the fifth round. Cyril Richardson, the offensive lineman from Baylor, and of the three offensive linemen you chose, this guy I think is one of the most intriguing prospects. If I'm not mistaken, he grew up in New Orleans, and his family had to relocate because of Katrina, right?
Correct. He's a big, mauler guy that's strong and physical. And I mean, I don't know if you noticed, like all these linemen we brought in are just big guys. We felt like we got a steal in the fifth round with him because he does have some talent, you know, upper round talent, you know, and he's a big guy that's a mauler. He didn't do well at the Senior Bowl, but he had a really good game at the Senior Bowl. He just didn't practice as well.
What do you think happens there?
I don't know. I don't know if he was, you know, if it was just trying to get used to everything that was going on, or you know, meeting at nights. I mean, I don't know, but I know in a game he played a lot better. And if you watch him on tape, his college games, that's what you saw in a game at the Senior Bowl.
Does he look like a guard or a tackle?
No, he's a guard all the way.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a guard.
And is that a foot speed thing or a length thing with him?
No, it's just that's what he played in college. I don't recall him ever playing tackle. So he'll come in and be a guard.
In the seventh round, two picks, linebacker from Florida Atlantic, Randall Johnson, a small school guy. What can you tell us about him?
Florida Atlantic, I don't know if that's a small school. I mean, someone else has said something about that. I mean, it is Division I football, so a different conference and everything. But he's a powerful guy. I didn't see much of him on tape. I did watch his workout, and explosive, powerful guy, you know, pretty athletic. You know, I think he'll bring a lot to the table on special teams and give us some depth at linebacker.
Outside guy, 6'4", outside linebacker, what do you think?
I would think he may even be a dual guy as well.
Okay.
You know, so we'll see.
And the final pick, an intriguing guy, Henderson, the offensive lineman from Miami, who many people believe he's got a world of talent, but he just had trouble staying out of his own way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we saw the talent. I mean, I'm sure everyone else saw the talent as well.
Yeah.
You know, just some things didn't work out for him. He fell to us with the seventh pick. I mean, you take a chance on a guy like this, you know, they got second, third round talent. And you're getting him in the seventh. So, you know, we just got to hope that everything else work out for him, you know.
You've talked to him, I guess, right?
Yes, I spoke to him before. I spoke to him at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine.
What'd you think of him?
I thought, he was ready to go when I talked to him. He definitely, you know, he knew what he had to do to make everything right. And at the Senior Bowl, he had a decent week of practice. And you know, he worked okay at the Senior Bowl. But, you know, he understands what he have to do to stay in this league. So,
Kelvin, how hard is it as a part of your job to project not only how these guys will develop as players, but as people? I mean, I think of Henderson. You obviously, the kid's had some issues during his career at Miami. And how hard is it to kind of look into the crystal ball and say, Henderson, we think, has a chance to straighten out and maybe be a pretty good player?
I think it's very hard. I mean, you know, you can sit down with him and you can talk to him and you can tell him and you can even give him the blueprint on how to be successful in this league because he has the talent to do it. You know, but at the end of the day, it's going to be up to him. You know, it's going to be up to him. And either you grow up and you make it or you don't and you fail.
How excited are you about the rookies who will be filtering into the building this week and will be on the field on Saturday here for the rookie minicamp?
I'm excited about these guys coming in It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see these guys come in and get going. So,
one more question. It's about the draft overall. I think there were 100 or so underclassmen who declared, and approximately 35 of them were not drafted.
Right.
What happens, I guess they can sign as, undrafted free agents, but what does that say about the process, and how do you think that will move forward into next year? Fewer underclassmen declaring, maybe?
Well, I think the process is right. I think with the grades these guys are getting coming out, some of these guys are getting grades where they probably shouldn't come out.
Right.
But it's their choice to come out and take that chance. And, you know, and if you don't get drafted and you don't get picked up as a free agent, it's going to be hard for you. But I think the underclassmen, they need to look at themselves and evaluate their situation and then make the decision. If it's right or wrong, just do it the right way. I think some of these underclassmen, they're not doing it the right way. They're hearing from the outside.
Are they getting good advice?
I think some of them are getting good advice. I think some of them are, you know, it's easy for someone to tell you you're great and you listen to that
right.
And you believe you're great. But it's hard for someone to listen to someone and say, hey, you're not ready yet. So now you want to leave because they told you you're not ready yet. And yeah. I think that's where the younger players, these underclassmen, need to look in the mirror and say to themselves, am I ready yet? Someone just told me I'm not ready. Am I ready yet? Maybe go and look at your own video and evaluate yourself, and then maybe look at a guy that you know is going in the first round, and right. Look at his video and determine what is he doing different than me.
Hard for all of us to look at ourselves.
There's no question. Yeah. I mean, but you have to – I mean, you're making a lifelong – career move.
Sure.
I mean, if you don't get drafted and you don't get picked up as a free agent, football may be done for you, and you haven't prepared yourself for football being done with you. So those type of guys, go and play your last year of college, and now you can prepare yourself. If I don't get drafted, if I don't get picked up as a free agent, prepare yourself for life after college football. You know, and yeah. I think that's my biggest fear with the underclassmen is they're still young. You know, they're still young, and if it doesn't work out, you know, some of them it's hard to adjust to football being over. And just imagine, some of these guys had 2 years of college to play.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's the only thing that I just wish someone can give them better advice. If it's the college head coach or position coach or family member, and have these guys stay back, the ones that, you know, and you know which the ones that come out, you know which ones are like, you're saying to yourself, nah, you should have stayed in school.
Right.
But there's nothing you can do.
Right.
Calvin, thanks. Congratulations on your first draft with the Bills. Thanks very much for this.
Thank you.
Calvin Fisher, the Buffalo Bills Director of College Scouting. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks again to Calvin Fisher, the Bills Director of College Scouting, for joining us tonight. In studio, he went through pick by pick of the draft. I thought some interesting things to say about the underclassmen. He seems pretty passionate about that. And you think about it, it depends on who you read. 98 underclassmen declared for the draft. 36 were not drafted. So that's about 40% of those who declared for the draft went undrafted. Now, some of them will make teams. Some of them obviously are going to be signed to free agent contracts over the next couple of days, the last few days. But 40% of those who declared for the draft are not going to be, we're not drafted. That's a lot. I think it's something the NFL and the NCAA has to take a look at moving forward. All right, we're going to take another break here. We're going to get back to more phone calls after the top of the hour, and we're also going to hear what Todd McShay and Mel Kiper from ESPN, what they both think about the Bills draft in particular and some of the other draft items. And at 8:30, we're going to hear from Will Merritt, who is the color man on the Clemson Tigers radio network. We'll get his take on Sammy Watkins. Wrapping up the draft tonight on the John Murphy Show. The phone lines are open at 803-0550. We're presented by NOCO, we're coming to you live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like that kind of party, baby!
Time is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the show. We've got one more hour to go and a lot of draft to talk about yet in this hour. We want to hear from you. The phone lines are open, as you know. Coming up during this next segment, we're going to hear some comments from Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay of ESPN. They had conference calls, separate conference calls today to talk about the draft, and we'll hear some of their thoughts on the Bills picks. Also, coming up later on this hour, we're going to be in touch with Will Merritt. He is the former offensive lineman at Clemson. He is the color analyst on the Clemson Tigers radio network. He has watched Sammy Watkins throughout his college football career, and we'll talk with Will Merritt about Sammy Watkins coming up at the bottom of the hour. As we said, the phone lines are open. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, you can reach us at 1-888-550-2550, and you can reach us via Twitter as well, at John Murphy Show. The issue here is the Bills draft. What do you think? What's your grade? How did they do? Did they give up too much to move up to get Sammy Watkins? All of the above. Any picks intrigue you? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. The calls that get on the air tonight are going to be entered to win a special premium tonight. One caller who gets on the air is going to get an autographed Sammy Watkins Buffalo Bills draft cap put together by New Era Cap Company. One of a kind. We've got one to give away. We'll let you know tomorrow if you win. We'll take your name and phone number when you call tonight. So if you'd like to be entered for that, a chance to win the Sammy Watkins autographed New Era Bills draft cap, give us a call at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll go to Ken in Rochester. Hi, Ken. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Good evening to you.
How are you?
My call is going to be about, obviously, the draft. I think, you know, whether or not you believe in EJ, they had to go in on this. They had to go all out, get the best player in the draft. And if most people could say you could get, like, another Andre Reed on this team for this kind of move, I think most people would go behind that. He has great run after the catch ability that we haven't seen on this team in quite a while, like with that kind of ability. And what I'm saying is, if we surround our quarterback with every possible weapon that we can and best positions that we can fill to give him the most chance to succeed, if he succeeds, great. If he doesn't, then he has no more excuses, neither does the team. They know they have to look elsewhere. Now, next year, granted, they don't have a first-round pick. They didn't give up too much, in my opinion, because they gave what the scorecards say you have to give up. They did that because, in my opinion, then next year they know, okay, either we go out in free agency, in which case, if you can go out in free agency, that's going to be more of a draw for a free agent quarterback to look around and say, wow, look at the offensive line I have potentially have in front of me.
Look at the weapons.
Weapons I have. Yeah. It's great for me to go there. And you can draw from that. So it's a win-win situation. And if not, there's no saying they couldn't move back up in the later first round again next year with, you know, with some of the confidence, the picks they have and second rounders. If they're going to be that bad, they're going to have a high second round pick. Bundle a bunch of those together, and next one, if there's that kind of quarterback there, and you go for it again. But you got to have that mentality now to find out what's going on with the guy you drafted, and you can't give him any more excuses. So everything's out there on the table for him to perform, and they need to do that, and they need to do that now.
Ken, thanks for calling. Here is Donald in Buffalo. Hello, Donald. You're on the air.
How you doing today? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to comment Flowers on the draft grade. I would like to give him a B. Just for the simple fact that we did trade away our first-round pick next year. I mean, hopefully we have a good season this year, so it ends end up being a late first-round pick. But, I mean, I'm glad. I like to see what they did. I like the addition of Sammy Watkins. I think he fits their scheme a lot better than what Stevie Johnson did. He's more explosive. He's faster. They seem to like faster receivers. And I think he complements the offense pretty good.
All right, Donald, thanks. I think you're right. I think, as I said to Kelvin Fisher last hour when we had him in studio, he's sturdy. He's tough to bring down. The run after the catch stuff is amazing. I invite you to go look at some of the video of Sammy Watkins with the ball in his hand. Clemson went out of their way to get him the ball in various ways. We'll talk with Will Merritt about that at the bottom of the hour. I mean, they lined him up in the backfield. They sent him on little jet sweeps coming across the formation, putting the ball in his chest and letting him run with the ball. He was a weapon all over the field for them and a great runner after the catch. What do the experts think? The experts being the draft gurus on ESPN. Well, we heard from both Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN today, and we're going to let you hear some of their comments. We will get to more phone calls. But if you're wondering how they did with their mock drafts, their final mock drafts, a friend of mine in the league puts together a survey on their correct picks by Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, and Mike Mayock. Now, correct means right player in the right spot in their mock draft, their final mock draft. For instance, Sammy Watkins, number 4, even though they didn't have Buffalo trading up. If they put Sammy Watkins at number 4, right player in the right place, that's a correct pick. How do you think they did? Mel Kiper Jr., Mike Mayock, Todd McShay. All right, Mel Kiper, out of 32 first-round picks, had 6 correct. Right player in the right spot. Not necessarily the right team, but right player, right spot. And of the final 25 picks, after the first 7, he got 2 correct. That's when it gets hard, when the picks start coming off the board. Todd McShay had 6 out of 32 correct. Of the final 25 picks, he had 1 correct pick. Right player, right spot in the first round. And Mike Mayock from NFL Network had 5 out of 32 correct on his final mock draft. Of the final 25 picks, he got 1 correct. So we were making fun of mock drafts a week ago at this time. We were talking about how nobody really knows. Nobody really does know. 6 out of 32, 5 out of 32, those are not good numbers. Now, you can say, you know, it's hard to do. It is hard to do. Our man Chris Brown got 6 correct in his final mock draft. It's interesting to hear what they say about it, too, McShay and Mel Kiper. They're not defensive about it. They know, I think, that mock drafts are sort of foolish. But they do them anyway. Everybody does them. We pay attention to them. Todd McShay conducted a conference call. He is one of ESPN's draft experts. And he talked about the Bills' pick of Sammy Watkins and what his thoughts were about Sammy Watkins as a player.
They did give up a lot. But I think they're, you know, the Bills realize that they've got a young quarterback in E.J. Manuel who needs weapons around him. And he ranks out as, or rates out as one of the higher graded receivers, at least in my opinion, and I know in several teams' opinions, that we've had in the last few years. I mean, I gave him a very similar grade to the one I gave to Julio Jones. Probably the, you know, tied with Jones is the third highest grade I've given to a receiver. And to look at Calvin Johnson and A.J. Green, so going back to, I think, 2006, 2007, whenever it was, so in the last several years. So if he can come in and be that kind of playmaker, you know, obviously Calvin Johnson's a high bar, but if he can be a Julio Jones or A.J. Green, that kind of playmaker, then I think Buffalo will look back on it and believe that he's worth every bit that they had to give up to go get him. And especially when you have a young quarterback that needs that help on the outside, I think it's clearly been a priority this offseason for Buffalo.
Todd McShay from ESPN talking about Sammy Watkins. Pretty high praise as far as the player. Where McShay has a problem, where many draft analysts have a problem, is the trade-up to get Sammy Watkins to give up next year's first-rounder. Here's what Todd McShay had to say about that.
I understand, as I said before with Buffalo, Sammy Watkins is an elite player. You're sitting there at number nine, and you're worried that you're not going to get one of the four elite players in this draft, and there was only one, and we talked about it from the beginning, and I'm referring to Jadeveon Clowney, Greg Robinson, Sammy Watkins, and Khalil Mack. And, you know, two of those guys were defensive players, and one of those guys was an offensive tackle. And it was highly unlikely you were getting up to one or two, regardless. And I think at the end of the day, what the Bills ultimately wanted to do was go out and get the best player possible to put around E.J. Manuel. And so if I had E.J. Manuel as my starting quarterback, it would be a similar focus. That's the best way I can put it. I don't know that I would have made the trade. I know it's giving up a lot. But I think that it's very clear that there is urgency to get playmakers around E.J. Manuel, because if this thing's going to work in Buffalo, they've got to have the best supporting cast possible, because EJ has a lot of developing to do. I love EJ. EJ is one of the favorite human beings that I've been around in the draft process over the 15 years I've been doing this. But I said coming out, I thought it was a reach. I didn't think they should have drafted him, and I think he has a lot of developing still to do. And I think they've recognized that after this first year, and that if they're going to make this work, they better get the right people around him. And so for that, I applaud them for recognizing and self-evaluating and being aggressive and attacking the cause.
Todd McShay from ESPN talking about the trade-up obviously has some doubts about that. But I thought the one thing he said, and it sort of goes to a call we had back in the first hour about the urgency. That's, you know, as one caller said, they think they're smarter than everybody. No, I think there's more urgency, desperation on the part of the Bills to get better, to be better, to make the playoffs than maybe other teams would have, because it's been such a long drought out of the playoffs. Mel Kiper Jr. held a post-draft conference call with the media today, and he was asked about the Bills now being out of the first round next year and who potentially they could miss out on when it comes to a quarterback if EJ doesn't pan out and if the Bills are in the market for a quarterback going into the 2015 NFL draft.
With Winston at Florida State and Mariota at Oregon, Hundley at UCLA, and Petty at Baylor, got a chance to have two or three of those four, maybe all four, develop into really good prospects, okay? You know, Winston has all the ability in the world. So do those other three. And they were wisely, I think they wisely opted to go back for another year. That's the argument I have. That's the one thing, to go up and give up a one and a four. And I love Sammy Watkins, but I also really like Odell Beckham Jr. And that's the thing. They could have gotten Beckham without giving up anything. So I would have preferred Beckham over giving up what they did, but obviously they felt like, hey, let's help E.J. Manuel out. Let's get him the top receiver in this draft and go to work. Traded Stevie Johnson. He's going to be the guy. He drafted Goodwin and Woods last year. So we'll see. Like I said, if Manuel's the guy, you're fine. If he's not, then like you say, you lose that first. That could end up being like the RG3 trade and cost you the second pick overall or the first pick overall.
Mel Kiper Jr., do you hear the doubt in his voice? You can hear it. And one thing I would really vehemently disagree with him about, the gulf between the potential for Sammy Watkins and the potential for Odell Beckham is huge. I don't think there's any comparison in terms of, and there's no guarantees here, but in terms of what they look like they're going to be able to accomplish in their NFL careers. Sammy Watkins is up here, and Odell Beckham is here, which is high, but nowhere near the potential of Sammy Watkins. So is it a risk? Absolutely, it's a risk. Was it calculated? Absolutely, it is. Was it Was it dramatic and bold? It sure was, and if you need more evidence of that, you should go to our website, BuffaloBills.com. You can check out the video, Bills Focus, exclusive video coverage of that trade, that move up the board, and the pick of Sammy Watkins. I'm telling you, forget about Kevin Costner. This is real-life drama in the draft room. It's up on our website right now at BuffaloBills.com, Buffalo Bills Focus, and Chris Brown has a piece that accompanies it detailing what went on there in the draft room. You want to check that out. In the meantime, we'll take more phone calls. The lines are open. 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here is Alex in Owego, New York. Hello, Alex.
Hey, John, how's it going?
Okay.
So I think we give the Bills an A-minus, and I know that's a lot higher than other people said, but I think they got some steals in this draft. Obviously, we gave up a lot, well, a medium amount to get Sammy Watkins. However, I think Cyrus Kwonjo, great pick, could fill in at that right tackle position. Cyril Richardson, great guard as well. Also, I think Ross Crockett is the really good steal of this draft. He's a super physical corner who shut down Mike Evans in that ACC title game, or the bowl game Duke between Texas A&M.
All right, good point, Jim. Ross Cockrell, the fourth rounder from Duke. I want to go back and watch that video. A couple of people have mentioned that. Cyrus Kwonjo, the second round pick, and Cyril Richardson, the fifth rounder from Baylor. At least one of those two, I think, probably Kwonjo, is going to be seeing a lot of playing time in the upcoming season. Let's go to Thomas in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Thomas. You're on the air.
John, how you doing today?
Great.
Good. I wanted to talk about, like, the national media grades on the Bills draft this year. I've seen a lot of C's, which I'm not too happy about. I know I'm a Bills fan first and foremost, but, like, objectively, you know, I think they did pretty well. I say, like, top 10, you know, out of 32 teams. So I just wanted to get your opinion and see what grade you wanted to give them.
I would give them, I guess, a B, but I just throw it out there. How do you grade? How do you know? I always struggle with that, Thomas. I follow, obviously, what the Bills do more closely than anybody else. I see what they've done. I think I have an understanding of why they did what they did. So, to me, it makes sense. But from the outside looking in, I can see why somebody, an outsider, might say, wow, they're out of next year's first round just to move up five spots? Wow, I don't know about that draft. I understand why somebody might feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, but just to get the caliber of player that we did, I think it was worth it. And I think the grade should just be based on 2014. We're not worried about 2015 right now. You know, 2014 is where it's at. And I don't know. I think it did great.
All right, thanks, Thomas. Here's a call from Dan in Angola, New York. Hello, Dan. You're on the air.
Hey, John. I'm going to give them a B also in the draft. There, I think they picked all their players came from top schools, I believe, and I would grade all these players, you know, within a top 10 as far as a grade. I don't know. That's the way I believe they covered all the players they needed except the tight end. But, again, they're all in on that pick now. I believe it's worth it because I'm looking at next year as they're not going to be so high in the draft.
Right.
So, like I say, they should probably move up if they needed to.
Well, we'll see. And that's debate. You know, you'd hope, and I think the plan is not to be that high in the draft, not to be 9 or 6 or 4. And you want to be in that bottom third. You want to be in the 20s, at least picking, I think, when you look at next year's draft. But nobody knows. Nobody knows how that's going to play out. A couple of calls ago, somebody mentioned the offensive linemen. The Bills went for 3 offensive linemen in this draft. Cyrus Kwonjo in the second round, the big 6'7", 322-pound tackle from Alabama. And then in the fifth round, they went to Cyril Richardson from Baylor, 6'5", 343. And then in the seventh round, the controversial choice, Chantrell Henderson from Miami of Florida, 6'7", 331 pounds. You heard Calvin Fisher say that many thought that Chantrell Henderson was a first or second round talent, but he got himself sideways at Miami and wound up being available in the seventh round, 237th pick. Todd McShay, in his conference call today, talked about the Bills' offensive line picks and his evaluation of how the three of them grade out.
Kwonjo's a big boy, and yeah, he's not there yet, but if he ever gets there, they're going to wind up with a really good value at pick 44 overall. He's long. He's got 35 5/8-inch arms, 10 1/4 hands. He's he's terrible 40 time, and he had, you know, bad numbers at the combine, but you watch him on tape and he moves pretty well for his size. It's almost 6'7". He's 6'6 and three quarters, 322 pounds. So he can play. My guess is he's going to compete for the right tackle position. He may need a little bit of time to develop, and you saw that with the inconsistent play at Alabama this past year. But if they, again, if they get him to maximize his potential, they're going to wind up with a really good football player, and it will be worth the risk that they're taking on him, that they took on him at 44. Cyril Richardson's another one that, you know, he struggled. He really had a tough week at the Senior Bowl, and they were asking him to do some things that he wasn't fully comfortable with. And anyone who's been in the Senior Bowl, you know, for several years and watches the drills year in and year out like I do, this happens a lot, where you've got one-on-ones with offensive linemen who are trying to work on new mechanics, and then you got a defensive lineman like Aaron Donald who's shot out of a cannon, and it's really conducive for the defensive guys. Because pass rushing, when it's just a one-on-one drill and there's nobody to your right and nobody to your left, it gives you just a little bit more space to maneuver. And he just kept getting beaten up in those drills. But on tape, I thought he got drafted probably right around where he should have. Maybe was a little bit of a good value there in the fifth round. And I know of some scouts that had him in the potential day two range coming into the season. So they need to get him in there, coach him up, and try to get his confidence back a little bit. But he could wind up being a good value pick and potentially down the road a starter for the Bills. And then Chantrell Henderson, it is what it is. I mean, you don't trust him. You don't have to trust him. You're going to tell him what he has to do. You're going to tell him where he needs to be, what the parameters are, what's expected of him. And if he grows up in a hurry, then great. And if not, then you move on. He's got ability. I mean, when I watch him in games that he wanted to play and was playing with good effort and was dialed in, you could see flashes of a player that could be an NFL starter. But he hasn't followed the right path and done all the right things, and clearly his focus is not all on football to this point. But sometimes it takes the shock of being drafted in the seventh round when you're one of the top recruits in the country going into high school to wake a young man up, and I hope for Henderson's sake that's what happens here.
That's Todd McShay from ESPN talking about the three offensive linemen, Quanjo Richardson and Chantrell Henderson. It was interesting because when I talked with Calvin Fisher about Chantrell Henderson, he said essentially the same thing, the wake-up factor, drafted in the seventh round. And I believe that the Bills believe that when Chantrell Henderson arrives here this week, there'll be an extra wake-up factor when he sees how good players at this level are, when he sees himself, you know, working against a Mario Williams or a Jerry Hughes or Manny Lawson or a real pro, and maybe that will add to the wake-up factor. But, yeah, I think McShay's dead on about that. You know, the guy with all kinds of talent, but he has not performed to that level, and he has been distracted by other things and had troubles off the field. And the Bills are going to have to – well, they took a seventh-round chance on him. We'll see how big a chance it is and how willing they are to, you know, let him show what he has. Let's go to Al and Clarence. Hello, Al. Welcome. You're on the show.
Hey, John. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
A couple quick points. I think them dragging the draft out this extra month, by the last three weeks, kind of – was tired of it. I mean, some of the analysts didn't even know what to talk about anymore, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And those guys, McShay and stuff, I mean, they love it because this is where they make their money. I mean, this is their niche. You know, otherwise, if they didn't have this, I mean, it'd be less exposure and ultimately less money for them. I was really disappointed the Bills didn't go for a quarterback in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round because you put everything into EJ. I just thought they could have, you know, they said they're looking to upgrade all positions. And it's not against EJ. It's about Thad as being our backup. I mean, and he's, I love his compete in him, but I think they could have upgraded the overall talent with a fourth, fifth, or sixth round quarterback there.
Well, let me, I have the advantage now, and I'm paging to it, looking at the book here and seeing where all these guys went. Are there any quarterbacks in particular that you think they may have missed out on? Because I don't know if there's any quarterback fourth, fifth, and sixth round. Let's talk about who.
I really wanted Aaron Murray.
Aaron Murray, fifth rounder. Yep, to Kansas City.
I was hoping he would come from Georgia.
Not a big, strong arm guy.
They say put a grade on a draft. Nobody can put a grade on a draft until 3 years from now. I mean, it's just like fantasy football, basically. So, you know, we'll see how they did. But I do love what they did with the offensive line. I was just, you know, I really was hoping they get Zettenberg, big, strong kid.
Mettenberger,
I know he
yeah,
got medical issues,
round.
But I don't know. They could have kept that extra fifth round. They traded to Tampa Bay and taken a flyer on one of these quarterbacks. I wish they would have, just for the competition level in the training camp.
Yeah, I they do like Thad Lewis. They've made that clear. Let me go through some of these quarterbacks. Fourth round, Logan Thomas, Virginia Tech, Tom Savage of Pittsburgh. Either of those two going to be ahead of Thad Lewis, do you think, this year as far as a backup? I don't think so. Fifth round, Aaron Murray from Georgia, A.J. McCarron of Alabama, Zach Mettenberger of LSU, David Fales of San Jose State, Keith Wenning of Ball State, Taj Boyd of Clemson, Garrett Gilbert of SMU. Any one of those guys going to be better at any point in their career than Thad Lewis? Thad is 2-3 as a starter here in Buffalo. He's got six NFL starts on his resume. Very smart. I think he's very athletic, which, you know, is underrated, and especially the way the Bills want their quarterback to play. I don't know that there, any of those quarterbacks is an upgrade. It might make for an interesting storyline, but I don't think it's an upgrade. Your point on the extension of the draft into the second week of May, and we all got kind of sick of it, but when you look at the television ratings for the draft itself, there's no incentive for the league to go back to April. I'm looking at the release from the league. 45.7 million people across 3 days watch the NFL draft, higher than the previous record set in 2010. 45.4 million that year. First round coverage, 32 million viewers, up 28% over last year. On Twitter, the 2014 NFL draft, more than 9.6 million tweets were sent out. I mean, that's up 211% from last year. There's no incentive for them. I mean, I wish it would, too, go back to late April. But with numbers like that, with ratings like that, there's no incentive for the league to go back to where they were. We're going to take a break, and we will get more calls on, but we want to take a break and talk a little bit more about Buffalo's first-round draft pick, Sammy Watkins. Will Merritt covers Clemson football on the radio, and he'll be joining us on the line when we return. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Talking a lot about the draft tonight. We'll be doing it right up till 9 o'clock, and we'll get to your phone calls as the show moves along. But we want to focus in on the number one pick, the big pick for the Bills, wide receiver Sammy Watkins from Clemson. On the line with us, former All-ACC offensive lineman for the Clemson Tigers, and he's been a part of the Clemson Radio Network for more than the last 10 years. Will Merritt is on the line with us from South Carolina. Hi, Will. Thanks for being on the show with us tonight. We appreciate
it. Hey, what's up, guys? How's everything up north?
Everybody's pretty excited about Sammy Watkins. It sounds like we should be, Will.
Well, you should. I mean, I think you're getting a guy that not only is a difference maker when it comes to the game itself, you know, being able to have world-class speed. But what a lot of people are forgetting that you're getting is a tough football player. I mean, he's a tough guy. And over the last couple of years, what people marveled at as much as anything is his ability to take little short catches and then run over people and run through arm tacklers and do things that you would not think that just a speedster would do. So I think Buffalo is in for a real treat having Sammy Watkins join the other Clemson brethren and C.J. Spiller. Between the two, I think you're going to have an awful lot of fun watching some foot races over the next few years.
Yeah, you know, Will, when I watched some of the video of Sammy Watkins and the Bills were looking for a big receiver, and Watkins at 6'1 is not necessarily a big receiver, but the word that came to my mind was sturdy. You know what I mean? He's just kind of sturdy, tough to bring down.
He really is, and he's got great lower body strength. But let me tell you what else he does. And the reason that he plays so much bigger than his stature is he's a snatcher. He goes up and snatches the ball out of the air. He'll go to the apex of a pass, and he'll bring the ball down with his hands. And a lot of people go, oh, well, aren't all wide receivers supposed to catch with their hands? And it's really kind of a misnomer that, you know, a lot of guys still trap the ball with their body, and Sammy does none of that. He snatches the ball out of the air, very, very strong hands, very secure at the point of impact as far as catching the ball. And then what he does in terms of yards after the catch is something to pretty marvel at, because if you look at what he did leading the nation in yards after the catch this past year, a lot of those were after contact as well. So it's not just taking a bubble screen 90 yards. It's actually taking some shorter passes, taking some contact from some DBs and still having the success down the field.
We're with Will Merritt. He's a color analyst on the Clemson football broadcast, talking about Bill's first-round draft pick, Sammy Watkins. His freshman year, Will, 82 catches, 1,200 yards, and then in his second year, 57 catches. Why the drop-off? What happened in his second year there at Clemson?
Well, the second year, I think, happens with a lot of guys. And it doesn't just happen just in wide receiver play. It happens in running back play. It happens in defensive back play. A lot of times you come in and there's this element of the unknown about just how good one guy's going to be, and teams don't really plan that well for you. And that's what happened with Sammy. The second year, he was not an unknown. He was very much known what he did. And so from defensive coordinators alike offered it to – schematically started to approach the game to be able to really stop Sammy. And then, so I think that was a little bit of dip in productivity, and he goes through a couple of off-the-field issues, and then he does what all great players and people do. He had a bounce-back moment to where he decided he wanted to be the very best wide receiver in the country. He worked his tail off in the offseason and then became a dual-threat guy. In the jet sweep, they put him in motion. Yeah. The majority of the time, they handed the ball off to him. His rushing stats went out the roof in addition to his receiving stats. So the dip, in my opinion, was just from a schematic approach from opposing teams really trying to slow him down the best they could. And then his last year, they really just couldn't do it.
Yeah, and that's funny you mention that. I talked to one of the Bills offensive coaches about that Friday, the day after they drafted Sammy, because when you watch the video of his third year at Clemson, he was all over the formation offensively, and they did. They ran jet sweeps. They ran bubble screens. The Bills coaches thought maybe, you know, Clemson's figured, hey, this guy's our best weapon. Let's use him every possible way we can.
Well, and that's exactly right. I mean, let's make no mistake about it, guys. Dabo Swinney and Chad Morris and that entire offensive staff, they want to win just as bad as anybody. Well, how do you win the majority of your football games? You give the ball to your very best player as much as you possibly can. And so that's why number two was touching the ball every chance he got. But don't lose sight of this one thing. Yes, he did a great job at catching balls in short routes and little, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-yard dig routes, screen packages, jet sweeps. But when they needed a home run, yeah, when they needed to hang 6 points on the board, they said, Sammy, get all of that hair going in one direction as fast as possible, and Taj Boyd's going to just sling it way up in the air, and then you go get it. And he did it every time.
You know,
he outran DBs. He outran safeties. He outran a lot of people that were going to the concession stand because he's just that fast when he gets to that top-end speed.
What you just described, I saw for myself when I watched the video last Thursday night of a 91-yard touchdown reception against Syracuse. He just flew down the field on that play.
And the craziest part of that whole play is that everybody on the Syracuse sideline knew what was coming. They did. As a matter of fact, I was actually talking to one of their radio guys after we called the game, and he was articulating some messages that he had gotten throughout the game and said, they were screaming before the snap, Sammy's going deep, two's going deep, two's going deep. And so they started backpedaling at the beginning of the play. Go back and watch it. You'll see they had a little bit of hip swivel at the snap of the ball. They're trying to stay with him, and it didn't really matter. When you're faster, you're faster.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. I'm telling you, Buffalo Bills fans are going to be so thrilled to watch this young man mature into what I believe he will be one of the most productive wide receivers in the NFL.
Well, we've had success with offensive playmakers up here going all the way back to the days of Jerry Butler, a former first-round pick,
That's
and obviously
right.
C.J. Spiller. So we're in for good things with Sammy Watkins, huh?
Well, you are, and you're getting a great young man, too. You're getting a very respectful young man. You're getting a guy that, under the tutelage of Dabo Swinney and under his guidance and coaching and leadership, you're getting a guy that is coming out much more mature than he was as a freshman. You're getting a young man that's got poise and charisma, and you're getting a respectful young man. He made his mistakes at Clemson. He got in some trouble, and he took ownership of those. He didn't run from them. He didn't run and hide. He didn't blame anybody else. He stood strong. He took ownership of his mistakes, and then he became a better person because of it. And so what I think Buffalo is getting is they're getting a young man that they can enjoy watching on the field on Sundays. He's going to electrify you there. But it's a guy that I think people are going to be able to gravitate towards as being able to pull for him off the field and in the game of life. And I think that's going to be
a really, really good marriage between Sammy and the Buffalo community.
And Will, we thank you for making time for us tonight. We appreciate it. Good luck with the Tigers moving forward. Thanks a lot.
Hey, anytime, guys. You'll have a great evening.
Okay. That's former Clemson offensive guard Will Merritt, all ACC offensive lineman for the Clemson Tigers. He is the color analyst on the Clemson Football Radio Network. His thoughts on Sammy Watkins. We'll take a break, come back, and get more phone calls on the air. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live tonight from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Going to get back to the calls in a minute. Thanks again to Will Merritt from the Clemson Radio Network, the football broadcaster for Clemson, talking about Sammy Watkins. Did you know Peter King reported this today in his Monday quarterback column, Monday Morning Quarterback website, about the Cleveland Browns, how close they came to drafting Sammy Watkins. Do you know they had his name on the card? They were fourth overall, and then they decided to trade it to Buffalo and move back to ninth overall. That's when they took Oklahoma State's Justin Gilbert. But Peter King found out that Ray Farmer, the GM of the Browns, this is Peter King's writing, Farmer told me that before the Browns made the trade with Buffalo, quote, we were very close to turning in the card. We could have easily turned in the card with Sammy's name on it. Peter King writes, I wonder if he would have regrets about passing on him and taking Justin Gilbert if Watkins turned into a Randy Moss-type talent. The quote from Sam Farmer to Peter King, even if Sammy turns into Randy Moss, Justin Gilbert can be every bit as good as Patrick Peterson. I don't quite get the logic there. Anyway, interesting. That's how close the Browns came. And if you want to see the drama involved, I've said this a couple times, go to BuffaloBills.com. Go to Bills Focus, our video feature on BuffaloBills.com with exclusive video access to the Bills draft room on Thursday night and Friday and Saturday, I guess Thursday and Friday. And you can watch the trade being executed right there. Jay Harris, you've seen it. It's pretty compelling. I didn't see that Kevin Costner movie. I got to believe this is more dramatic than that.
You see the lip biting, the nail.
You did see the Kevin Costner biting. Movie.
I did see.
Which would you rather watch, the real stuff or Kevin Costner?
The real stuff. Are you kidding me? I know good Kevin Costner is an actor, and I'm looking at him.
And you don't know that about Doug Whaley. He's not acting.
No, and it was better dramatics for me, at least. But you could see everything. You could see the nail biting,
The calls
the
back and forth.
Yep.
Yeah.
The trembling in the hands and the it was great. It was absolutely. It puts you in that it gets you really excited too.
Yeah.
Just to know that's how it went down, as a fan, that's what you want to see.
Yeah. All access behind the scenes video access of day one and day two of the NFL draft. It's at BuffaloBills.com. Chris Brown has written about it and is on the clock feature, and there's a video component. I strongly urge you to check that out. We've had a couple of calls about the undrafted free agents. The Bills have not announced the names of the handful of players. They don't have a lot of room, 8 to 10 spots on the roster. It's expected to come out tomorrow. They want to bring the players in, put them through their own physicals. They get a chance to do that, and then they'll announce them. Some teams have announced them already. Some of the names have leaked out. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We've got a few minutes left here in time to take phone calls, and as you know, if we use your call on the air, you are entered into the rotation to possibly win an autographed Sammy Watkins New Era Buffalo Bills draft cap. So we will be taking your name and your phone number. We'll let you know if you win sometime tomorrow. Dave in Orchard Park. Dave, welcome. You're on the show.
Hi, Murph. How are you?
Okay.
All right. Listen, I'm a big proponent of the trade for Watkins. And it's not just based on talent. I think it's based on the feeling that the team is trying to set out. We've been losers for too long, and you could see it. You could see it in the way they were so pumped afterwards, saying this is our year. We're going to make the playoffs, and we haven't had that. I know we've gone through that the last couple of years where we've been so close with teams that are getting better, but it goes to Brandon Spikes sending out his tweets that he's circling the New England games. And this trade, and then the trade for Bryce Brown. They had the scout talking about Cyril after they drafted Cyril. And he said, we're not drafting a guy to ride the bench. We're drafting a guy to start. It's this whole attitude. And it goes right to that trade that we're not afraid, we're going to win this year, and if we make the playoffs, I would have given twice as much. It's it's been too long. I'm tired of watching other teams in January.
I agree. It has been too long. There's no question about that, Dave. And that is, I believe, what motivated them to move up and make that pick and to give up next year's first rounder. Pat in North Tonawanda. Hello, Pat. You're on the air.
Hi, Murph. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just want to commend WGR and yourself for the great job of draft coverage. I have
Thank
two
you.
Quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what can the rookies expect when they come in this week? And secondly, who do you project going into the season as the starting wide receivers? Thanks again for taking my call.
Okay, Pat. The rookies, I think, as they filter in through here, I think tomorrow they can expect physicals, signing their contracts, and kind of an indoctrination of what to expect. They get to the field on Saturday of this week. The rookie minicamp is Saturday, Sunday, and Monday coming up this week. The voluntary off-season conditioning program for the veterans resumes tomorrow, Tuesday through Friday. And then on Saturday, it's all rookies. The rookies, I'm certain, won't be able to work out with the vets Tuesday through Friday, but they get the field on Saturday, Sunday, Monday coming up this week. So that's what the rest of the week looks like for them. I wonder if we can squeeze in one more call. We'll go to Mark in North Dakota. Mark, we got about 30 seconds left.
Okay, just quick, I want to talk about Sammy and also the second round or the third round pick, Preston Brown.
Okay.
I really love the Sammy pick. I think that's great. I think moving up and making a decision that we're going to be better is a great deal. And I know I only have 30 seconds, but going back to Preston Brown, I know you love Chris Borland of Wisconsin.
Yep.
We had that choice. We had that choice to make Chris Borland our guy, but we made Preston Brown. But I want to say this. I was going to preface my comment by saying that, you know what, we got to trust our guys. I love Buddy Nix. I love Doug Whaley. And you know what? If they say Preston Brown's the guy, he's the guy.
Yeah, I get that. I absolutely get that. And I think the difference there is size. You know, Borland, I think, as much as I liked him, clearly did not fit with what they want to do defensively here because he is undersized. And Preston Brown certainly fits the profile of the kind of big, tough linebacker, big, strong linebacker they're looking for. So I understand why they made that move. Well, again, if your call was on the air tonight, you got a chance to win that Sammy Watkins cap. If you're the winner, we'll get in touch with you tomorrow. And I hope you join the show and listen to us again tomorrow and call in again tomorrow. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer, Tom Sitch, our producer, Jay Harris, and the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. We're on the air tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.